Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas, to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a top blasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Okay, tonight I have the Tennessee Shadow Chasers on the show. Aaron Hill was on a couple weeks ago, and we brought the team with her tonight, so that's cool. So I want you, Aaron, to introduce your team members on the team, who's there with you tonight, and what they bring to the table. And
yes, these are two other co-founders of the Tennessee Shadow Chasers. So we have Dee. And she brings a lot to the table. She really grounds us a lot. You do. Yeah. Her energy, she just kind of brings us back exactly where we need to be. And she's you're good with techie stuff. You're really good with stuff like that. And so she's a genius. And then we also have Audra, who is our skeptic, and she also grounds us very well. These two are vital pieces of the Tennessee Shadow Chasers, 100%. And then, of course, we all bring the laughs. So we all laugh. So that's the fun part. But we also, so there's four other team members that were unable to be on the show tonight. But you do have the three of us.
Yeah, I think last time you mentioned you and Audra were the founding members.
Yes, I made a mistake it's me, Audra, Dee, and Melissa. And I didn't bring, I did not mention Dee. So that is a correction. That's a huge correction. I think I was just nervous at the moment and just kind of stuttered a little bit. But yeah, so Dee, Audra, Melissa, and myself are the co-founders of the team.
Yeah, because I was doing some research of you guys. You know, I'm seeing, okay, there's like four of you, then I see like five. I think they seem like seven or eight. Yeah. So I don't know if the other ones were just tag-alongs or sometimes I like to know who's on the team. And
yeah,
because sometimes, like you said, Audra's a skeptic, so that's cool, because you have to have somebody there.
You do.
To ground each other out, because really so you have like an atheist or a preacher or yeah, you have a very
that would be me. I'm the atheist. I'm the agnostic on the team. He's and plus I'm the one that will try to debunk everything. Mm-hmm. And be like, no, we gotta find, there's gotta be a reason for this. So I'm the one that immediately tries to. I make them mad sometimes doing it. We have had plenty of arguments over this.
We have.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah, we have had come close to throwing down a couple of times.
Yeah,
but,
we have. We really have. She is telling the truth.
Because I get relentless on some of these things that I just refuse to believe it.
Yeah.
So, but it has, we've gotten to the point where now I give a little more and they give a little more to seeing each other's side of it. So.
Yeah, because when you all get done with the investigation, you know, you all have your own different way of looking at things. Mm-hmm. So you can put that all on the table, and that's really cool when you can come together on being a difference, but you can come together on maybe a certain thing that happened during the night, you know, so that you can agree upon.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everybody needs to have a skeptic, because, you know, you want to debunk it before you call anything a ghost, a demon, or a, you know,
anything, right? Yeah, yeah, really, yeah. Right. It could be a mouse in the attic. You know, you never know.
You never know.
She really does grab this, and she brings. I mean, Audra is the kind that, like she said, she'll stop and she's like, "Okay, hold on, let's analyze this just for a second. Hold on, everybody, get your wits about you." And she's the voice of reason, because sometimes in those moments you get so excited. And everybody else is so excited, and you just get amped up to where Audra's like, okay, hold on. You know, Dee does the same thing. Dee does the exact same thing. You know, those two, they're key.
Yeah. Dee used to be gung-ho. Dee used to be very gung-ho, but I think she's been in the car ride too many times with me that I've been like, no, you got to think about it. You got to think about it.
It was really cool. Just a few weeks ago, we were at the Yura Shrine, and somebody said, "Oh, look, there's something in the mirror." And I said, "Wait, I think it's a reflection." And I looked over at Audra, and she's just smiling ear to ear, and she's like, "I am so proud of you right now. You debunked it." And I was like, "Yay, me!"
It feels good when you make Audra proud.
It makes me feel so good to make her proud.
I was checking on your site. I was going through your. What was it? TikTok and mm-hmm. Facebook and all of them. And I was seeing the Instagram, and I came across the post that you were at the Scott County Jail in Tennessee.
Yes.
What was it? Because
I'm
friends with Miranda and Dr. Chris Sumner. They've both been on my show. I've been on their show. That's on my bucket list, to go down there and check this jail out, and then meet the two of them. Hopefully they're there when I go, you know. But how was that? Did you go there for an investigation, or how was the investigation?
How many we've been there?
That we've been there several times. Yeah,
two or three times. Several, yeah.
This last time though, when we caught that whistle on the second floor, on the third floor, it was third floor.
I was in the bathroom. I missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. You had to go to the restroom.
I did.
We actually thought it was Aaron coming back down the hall whistling. And we were all just sitting back there in the cells, and it was not Erin. She was still downstairs, and I've never heard anything that clear ever.
We had a gentleman sitting on the opposite side of us doing the Estes method, and I ran in on him. I scared him to death because I kicked the door open, and I was like, "Was that you?" And he took those headphones off and looked at me and goes, "Oh my gosh, what did I do?" And I really thought I scared him to death.
I think you probably did, because didn't you have your flashlight up in his face? You like,
and I was like, "Did you whistle?" And he was like, "No, am I supposed to?" And I was like, "No, we're just trying to figure out where it came from."
Isn't there like a whistling ghost in there? I mean,
yeah,
I think
we didn't know it at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had somebody else on that was talking about that on the show before, about a whistling ghost in the second or third.
I think it was it the didn't Chris say something that was like the warden?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
From way back when. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That place is really cool. It's close quarters, and it's a jail, so it echoes. But I'm telling you, it really packs a wall up. It's a good place.
I also came across, you had a picture of a tombstone that looked like there was a burnt image of a face on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it in front of a big tree?
Yeah.
That's Hannah.
That's Hannah.
Hannah, yeah.
That's at the Eurus Shrine.
Oh, is it?
She was a witch?
She was accused of being a witch in Limestone, Tennessee in the late 1890s. And they removed her stone from the cemetery that she was in because people were coming down there and leaving offerings and little stones and stuff. And the people of that area did not appreciate it. So her stone was removed. Her body is still in the cemetery, but her stone was removed.
But how did that face get on that stone?
Well, that...
I don't know. It's just
we
like...
We don't know, Al.
I mean, sometimes...
That's a good question.
sometimes people put digital images on stones. You know what I'm saying? The new tombstones, you can put digital images. And I was like, that looked like a face to me. Like, I see two eyes, and I just want to... You know, certain pictures really stand out to me. It's just like, talk about that. You know,
and I don't know what picture. I'm not even thinking about that picture. And I think
I'd have to send it to you.
One of the recent ones, the Audra Tuck?
I think
is
so.
Is that one of the new ones?
Yeah. That's right. I'm going to look. Yeah.
That would have been taken just this past weekend.
At the.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That place has been on fire lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's had a lot of activity lately.
And you said that was at the Urashine?
Yeah,
Ura.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Bristol, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. That place was added to my bucket list too, again. Because I had Austin Lawrence on last week, and he said he met. I don't know if he met you guys or met Aaron at the Ura Shrine, and mm-hmm. had nothing but nice things to say about you guys. And I think uh-huh. you were the ambassador or something.
Aaron and I were there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he was. He couldn't go say enough kind words about.
Aww.
They were so professional and so nice. I mean, it really set the standard for anybody else that comes in there.
I see what you're talking about. So
you see what I'm saying?
Picture, yeah, I see that picture. That picture is. I think that's just. I don't know how that got on that stone. Because when they had that stone to begin with, it was clean. So I don't know if it was weathering or what. That was not imposed. We didn't put that on that picture. But it does look like a face is burnt in on there.
It looked like to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. That's interesting. I didn't notice that. It sure does. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also came across you had many pictures on there. But a couple were looked like they were symbolic of, I don't know, I want to say like witchcraft or... Mm-hmm. Where was that at? That was the same place.
Okay. They do have an active coven there that mm-hmm. practices on a regular basis.
It's like pagan? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually have 13 crafts that practice there.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just, you have so many people you're connected to that I know, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's
Haley Stack. World. Haley Stack.
Yep. She's mm-hmm. there. Yeah, she's actually over the coven that's there.
Is she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was on the show too before. So
she's fantastic. Yeah, she's a lovely woman.
So you guys, you know, you get that inner circle where you probably know the people I'm talking about, like Eric Freeman Sims and mm-hmm. Sin Strader Hill. And I was just curious about that shrine because it was brought up a couple times from other guests. And then Austin, I mentioned it this past week. Mm-hmm. And he's so awesome. I mean, like you're saying, because he does. I love people to put the work in that have a love for this field, you know, than just these, as I call them, Amazon fly-by-nighters. They buy themselves a spirit box and they're a professional ghost hunter.
Right.
Or everything's demonic, you know.
So
I love when people like you guys, you do your work and you investigate. And that's my next question. How do you know? How do you decide which where to go next?
What'd you say?
I said Audra.
Yeah, I mean Audra really.
Whatever Audra says. Finds
Bailey finds a lot of places.
Yeah, me and Bailey do a lot of research on places.
Yeah.
And Haley, one of our newest members, Haley has found some places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we look. On YouTube, we look at these new small places that people haven't really caught wind of yet. And we'll we'll go to them and give them a shot, because those are the places that people are kind of like the shrine. They they haven't blown up yet. So you can get in there a lot easier. They're more affordable. They're more available, for one thing.
Yeah, because these places are all out of this world now, you know.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Even if it goes a team, it's still expensive, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you got to throw a bunch of teams together and kind of go in a very large place. And then, you know, if you want to get together and do it together, that's fine. If you want to split up and do one wing with one team, one wing with another, that's fine too. But that's when you go in together, because they are ridiculously expensive. Some of them are.
So what is the Ura Shrine? What is it a...
Lady, I'll let you tell.
Is it just a hunting ground, or what is it?
The Ura Shrine is a active location that is being used. We describe it as a is place, not a was place. It wasn't a hospital. It's actually a place that was built for spirits to come and interact with living, and for the living to go and interact with the spirits. So, like I said, there's 13 different crafts that are practiced there. You know, everything goes there. I mean, everybody is welcome. All spirits are welcome, including demonic spirits are welcome.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, the good, bad, and the ugly. So you can't come in and say, oh, I just want to deal with the good spirits, because we can't guarantee who's going to be there. It's like a train station. You never know who's going to stop by and visit.
Oh, we do have like
two residents, maybe one or two resident spirits that are always going to be there. Mm-hmm. But you really never know who's going to stop by and say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, the past guests, they call them spirits that stop by periodically, frequent flyers.
Yeah, right. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a living place. It's kind of like it has its own personality.
It's its own breathing place. It protects itself. It will, if it doesn't want you there, it will find a way to keep you from getting there, which is weird and scary at the same time.
Well, I've heard nothing but good things about, you know, the activity that's there and the investigation for different investigators. And it was, you know, I just didn't put it together, the shrine, you know, and that was a Ura Shrine. And then I said, is this the same place? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, it is.
Tennessee's pretty active on a lot of nice spots to go to.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Scott County Jail. You've got Rugby, Tennessee, because Chris and Miranda do the Rugby After Dark as well. Then you have Ronnie D, who has Old South Pittsburgh Hospital and Harriman Hospital. Then you have Brushy Mountain.
I'm going to get that one. Yeah.
I mean, that's just five off the top of my head.
There's that's so just many in East Tennessee.
Yeah. That's just in East Tennessee. Yeah.
And you still have part of the Appalachian Trail in there.
Oh yeah.
I have nothing. I'm going to get that one. I'm going to get that right now. The Appalachian Trail. Haley. Stack. She's a witch, you know, and she does her, seance. It was a something Seance Society.
Appalachian Seance Society.
Right. Yeah, it's coming to me. Right?
Yeah. And,
that's interesting, man. I tell you what, I was following her for quite a while, and she's so talented. She's another one, really talented, and photographer and oils in her practicing,
he's,
you know,
very talented.
And
yeah.
And so we were talking, after talking to her, it's always interesting. I get comments from my listeners, you know, about, oh, I know that area, you know, or part of that Appalachian area, you know, because that runs a, that's a big area, Appalachian.
It's a big area.
So, Al, you come down here to the Appalachian Mountains and we will take you all over East Tennessee. We'll hike you up and down these mountains and we will let you find Bigfoot. Because I'm sure he lives out here.
That'd be awesome, man. It would.
He probably has a cabin out here somewhere.
I wonder if Bigfoot knows how popular he is right now.
I wonder.
He's probably making royalties off of everything.
I know, right?
He probably has a manager.
Or ask him, why are you calling me Bigfoot? Why are you calling me Bigfoot, man?
Yeah, my name's Joe. My name's
Lee. I can't help it. I can't help it. My feet are oversized. I mean, you know.
Yeah. You make me self-conscious.
Even up in Ohio Valley, where I'm at, the part of it runs through the southern part.
Yeah.
Little branches of it, you know, and so many stories even down there. I mean, and I forget how long they said, if you want to hike that complete trail, how long would it take you to hike that? It was like,
long.
So many months. Hard. I forget how many months.
I would say the complete trail is like 5 months.
Yeah.
Five months.
Yeah.
And that's for somebody that's in shape and knows what they're doing.
That's not me.
I'd make
it. It'd take me like 5 years.
I was going to say, I'm more like 3 years with a couple breaks. Got to stop at Dairy Queen a few times.
Right. Yeah. I'd only survive out there literally for about 3 or 4 days. I'd be like, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready for
I got to find seven brews.
I'm ready to take a shower.
Yeah, what do you mean there's not a Big Mac on the trail? You know?
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Where's the there
a taco? You had another thing on there. It was the old funeral home. Formerly known as, I think it was the Harrison Funeral Home.
In Lynchburg.
Lynchburg.
Yeah, we're actually going back there in 3 weeks.
For some reason, that really, I'm naming things that really piqued my curiosity looking at those.
We're going back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is it 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
The coolest thing about that place, my favorite spot in that entire place is that teenager's bedroom, because I don't know if it was teenage angst. I don't know. But there's like this kid painted stuff all over the ceiling fans and the walls and glow in the dark paint, and then took pens and drew pictures on the walls. I mean, this kid must have been going through one heck of a stage of life, because it's just a creepy room. And, you know, there's stuff written like, what was it on the ceiling fan? Torture, pain, misery.
Yeah. A lot of stuff from like the pop, the like corn and that type of genre of music.
Yeah.
A lot of their type of music lyrics on the wall.
Mm-hmm. So this kid was obviously very in a dark place. And it's really interesting because you can actually feel it in the room. When you go into that room, the whole atmosphere changes anyway, not even knowing, before we even realized what was on the walls, we were just walking in the dark. We hadn't even flashed any flashlights, nothing. You could just feel the difference.
Yeah. I know it was you and me. We talked about last time you on the show, we talked about the energy from the body, but you know, energy, you know, and how you can get the energy with the dowsing rods, for gas, water, you know, electricity. But you think about this, you know, when the military goes in to say they're looking to bomb a building or something, they could tell how many civilians are in that building with the infrared, younger, or, you know, so that's energy. They're working off that heat energy.
Yeah.
So when I had somebody said they went to the cemetery and trying to prove to her husband about how the dowsing rods do work, and it did pick out the body, exactly where the body was at, you know. And some people even say that you can tell what's male or female.
Yeah.
But I always found that energy, interesting that, especially these hospitals, like you say, you go to these old hospitals or funeral home, anywhere where there's a lot of death. So you're going to have, especially, and we're going to get that a little bit later about the Lizzie Borden, but I want to talk about the Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard nothing but good things about Brushy Mountain.
It's great.
I haven't been there, but
you've got to get there, Al. It is so amazing. Number one, a day tour is really cool because you have former prisoners that give day tours there, and then former guards. And then they have the Warden's Table, which is a restaurant. Now they've also opened up like a hot wing.
Parolee's Pizza.
Yeah, pizza joint. Yeah. And then they have like, they sell moonshine there. They have moonshine tasting. So in the daytime, there's lots to do. I think they have an animal shelter there now too.
Mm-hmm.
For an adoption.
And they have concerts.
And they have concerts. Yeah, so it's a hopping place, right?
And how far out we go to travel to do an investigation?
We'll go anywhere.
We've gone all over.
Yeah. The hard thing is scheduling, because we all have jobs. Mm-hmm. We all have full-time jobs. That's something that can't escape, you know, your reality. We still have to pay bills. We still have to go to our jobs. So then we just try to figure out a good time for us to come together and go, you know, and sometimes one person might not be able to go, or two people may not be able to go, just because of scheduling purposes.
Yeah. And that family, that work life balance, and we got to keep, you know, can't go every weekend because people have families and we can't take away from family time. And one of the things we always say is family first.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody says my family's, you know, my kid's doing this, take me, you go do that, don't worry about that, we'll find another time to go.
I had mentioned
earlier about Lizzie Borden. That's on my bucket list as well. But and I always said this, you know, and I've had so many mixed reports on this house from so many different guests, mm-hmm. so many different friends that are investigators. And it's either a yay or a nay. A lot of them are saying it's too much the same old, same old. And yet my thinking is, anywhere where you have, like I said earlier, you have mass murder in a home, you're gonna have activity. I strongly believe
that. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, when we went, when in the moment, we didn't realize how much we were getting. Thank God we were recording things. Because, I mean, we actually had a lot. I think it was because we were so tired, because we took a girls trip to Salem. And this was at the tail end of our Salem trip. And that next day we were hopping a plane and we were headed home. So we were so tired, I guess we didn't realize it. But I guess we had really good reaction with the mother of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So Miss Borden, who was the girl's stepmother. And we had a great conversation with her through the dead bell. You know, I think we can all agree here that on our team, the dead bell, we have mixed reviews about it. But this one, it was giving, we said, you know, ring once for yes or twice for no. And we were getting direct answers. And it was a great conversation that we had.
We even tried to debunk the dead bell. We were timing it and to see if it was just going off on certain, you know, like every 7 seconds or whatever. Yeah. And it was not. It was actually, that one was actually legit, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said mass murder. I mean, any kind of gruesome murder. I said, right. I said mass murder. Any time you got a gruesome, vicious murder in a house or.
Yeah.
Plus, who was Audra and Aaron? Who was it that lived next door that ended up killing their children next door?
It was a cousin that lived there prior that had killed her children in the well or something like that next door.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it was property more than it was house.
Yeah.
Because I really agree with that, like the old Indian philosophy about, you know, the ground. How the ground is sacred, how the ground is has haunting more than the house or the structure. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're going to build a house on Indian burial grounds or any type of burial grounds, really.
You know, that reminds me, Lake Shawnee had a fire. Lake Shawnee just had a huge fire. And the Indian burial ground is on that property. And I don't think it touched them, but I wonder what those spirits felt, what they thought about watching this fire burn things down.
Was the picnic area or something like that, where the picnic, mm-hmm. covered picnic area is what caught on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty far away from where they are. But I just wonder how they felt about watching things burn on their property, because it's their property still.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, anytime you build something on top, something that's a burial ground, that you're gonna have trouble. Like when they put these lakes in, and they don't clear out the cemetery, you're gonna have problems. I mean, you're gonna have hauntings, you know. And I believe that anyway.
I do too.
I believe that the spirits do speak to you one way or the other, you know. Yeah. And
just if we are willing to listen,
right? So I was talking. I want to get on Lizzie Borden because I know I want to go there, and. But more, I've had people tell me, I don't know. But then I guess you got to be your own judgment on that, you know. And sometimes, like I said before, you know, spirit will pick and choose who they want to connect with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
yeah, I've been to Lizzie Borden twice. Pre-Ghost Adventures USA owning it, and since they've owned it. Mm-hmm. And it is definitely different since the company took over that owns it now.
New ownership, right? New ownership of that.
Yes.
Of that house.
And they own the Villisca Axe House now and everything else.
And they changed something as far as investigations go to. I don't know. I forget. Somebody just told me that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are nickel and diamond people.
Before, what was covered is not covered now. Now you have to pay extra for it.
You have to pay for everything. You have to pay for the breakfast. You have to pay for the investigation. You have to pay to walk up the steps.
Yeah.
You have to pay to go down in the basement.
Now, we did find out, we asked the spirits, and we actually got the response from them that I know that they have a mannequin laying on the couch. It's like
the
face bashed in, and then it has the stepmother, Miss Borden, upstairs in the bedroom, face down, you know.
Bludgeoned. That's terrible.
Yeah, and I get that that's there for the daily public.
Shock factor.
Yeah, and kind of like the shock and awe factor for people coming through, but the spirits don't like them. The spirits don't like that. And I'm sure because it's a reminder of what they went through.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't there the first time I went. And when I came in the second time, I was like, oh my gosh. I can't believe they have that out there.
Yeah, but we spent a lot of time there talking to the spirits about other things other than the murder.
Yeah.
We got good results.
We did when we did the impression of someone trying to get a job as the new maid.
That's right.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
A lot of response
terrible
with that.
Irish.
Terrible accent. Irish impression.
Terrible. It was terrible. It was so bad, but it worked. We have a clip on our Facebook page and on our TikTok that shows Audra was in like the study where the dad passed away. And then Melissa, Dee, and I were in the front living room. And Audra was saying, you know, we've got someone here because the Bordens didn't like Irish. So it's rumored that they didn't like Irish people because they thought they were dirty, stealing, you know, and I'm Irish. So I thought, okay, I'm going to pretend to be Irish. I don't have an Irish accent, but it was terrible. But so if anybody watches that, please excuse the terrible accent. No disrespect meant, but they turned off the lights on us, only on a few of them. It's not like there was a whole power outage. It was just several lights just woof, in different rooms just went down and then came back up. And you can hear us. We're just silent for a second. And I think all of us were just trying to digest what just happened, that they were communicating through the lights. And that blew our minds.
It's cool. It's a cool place. It's a cool place if you can go and visit. It's cool. I mean, it's definitely.
And it's beautiful.
It's a one-time thing.
You mentioned something about the house next door.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about that. You know, was that, you said it was a cousin?
Mm-hmm.
The Lizzie Borden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was young. They think it might have been postpartum, possibly, that led her to it. But yeah, she killed like all three kids and or tried to kill all three of them. One of them may have survived.
I think one survived and two passed.
One survived and two died, like, very young. And I think two of the kids may be in the basement.
Or in the attic.
Or in the attic. Maybe they've moved from the basement to the attic because now they think the mom is in the basement.
I think somebody told me too, they investigated and there was a team there that was trying to move a spirit on. And so they were asked never to come back. And now, now they're having, I don't know how true this is, but they're asking other investigators to sign like waivers. You're not going to do that.
Oh, I know you're not allowed to play with the Ouija board anymore.
Or the Ouija, right. That's another one, the Ouija board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's through trial and error, I suppose, at these places, because I guess some spirits are more volatile to that kind of stuff than others. So I guess they're learning as they go, you know, what is acceptable type of behavior, because there are a lot of people who try to move spirits on, and you know, you're talking hundreds, you know, a couple hundred years that these spirits have been lingering here, or even if it's 75 years, 5 years, 2 years, you know, these they're here for a reason. So mm-hmm. I think it's rather arrogant for people to think that they can move them on.
Well, your owners are looking at it though too, is you're moving on their livelihood.
Right. So if you kept going back to the, if you kept going back to the house and there's no activity, they're all gone. You know.
Yeah, somebody come and release them all. It's kind of strange because it's like, because yes, I mean, it is kind of what we do is kind of, we look at it as answers. I think some people might look at it like we're exploiting spirits, but I think spirits like company.
I think I've always said the paranormal is the unexplained. You know, and the day you can explain it is the day you stop investigating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody wants that, like me, growing up in a haunted house, you know.
Yeah.
You can't explain it. I mean, really, I could never try. I wrote the book, and I don't care. You could use all the equipment you have in the world, the best technology. There's other people just not going to believe it. So yeah. That's just life. You know, and I think with AI and how good it is, I mean, it's really awesome that.
Yeah.
It actually hurts a lot of investigators because what's happening for real is going to be put off as fake because AI is so good.
Right. Because sometimes when you catch something and it's that good, you're almost like, oh, I hesitate to put it out there because people are going to think I'm lying. People are going to think we made this up, but I swear we didn't make it up. You know, we talked about this last time because who do you talk to?
Who do you talk to?
Who do you explain it to? Because you're in your own community. It's not like you could talk to somebody in Australia.
I think a lot of these shows on TV also kind of ruin it for like you guys, for because everybody makes everything demonic. So they have to sell their show, you know. So what's a better way of selling it? What's scare tactic? And
I think they've ruined it.
Right.
Yeah.
They've made it a joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like, those of us who investigate know that, man, there's times where it's just silent.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing going on.
Yeah, I always said it's like fishing. You know, sometimes you catch a lot, and sometimes you get nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
So I've had plenty of nothing.
My brother always asks me, "What are you going to do when you catch one?" And I'm just like,
"How do you catch it? How do you capture that spirit?
What do you do?" Yeah,
I'm just like, I don't know. I was like, I guess that's the day I quit.
I guess that's kind of the allure. You know, that's the kind of the allure to it because it's. You know, you think you're going to act one way, right? You have it in your head. I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to be a big person about this. And I'm going to be logical and I'm not going to be scared. But as soon as that door slams in front of you with nothing around, there's no, you think you're going to act one way and you wind up being a complete chicken running in the other direction. So I think it's the, what are you going to do? What are you?
That's really just catching evidence though. You didn't technically catch a ghost. You're just catching evidence.
Evidence. Right.
Or you might catch a bat flying out of the attic at you, you know, or.
Exactly.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Or the wind blowing or.
Wind blowing or snake
you never,
or.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to walk into, especially on these older homes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I was in Alton, Illinois when they did Mineral Springs, when they were still, they don't investigate there anymore. They don't allow it. But I was down in the in-ground pool area and I had people with me, and I swear we heard somebody walking next to the area we were in. And I said, well, guys, hold on. Let me go make sure, because the owner warned me homeless people break in all the time. So let me go take care of this. And I walked back there thinking, I'm just going to find a homeless person, probably, you know, passing out, or there was nobody there. Thank God. Cause I was like, oh, I'm going to run into a homeless person. They're going to try to beat me up. You know, you know, I'm not going to be able to defend myself. Are you kidding me? Jeez. So I was kind of glad it wasn't a homeless person. I'm glad it was a spirit.
I see you had the haunted Smith County Courthouse. That looked interesting. Mm-hmm. With, and I, this what really grabbed my attention was the execution docket. Gave me the chills. It was like from 1866, 1867.
Oh, yeah.
When you actually are looking at the execution docket.
Yeah. That was really cool that they allowed us to look at that.
Right. Right.
Touch it. You can pull it off the shelf, open it up. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. We didn't get a lot of activity that night. So I, you know, we've only been there once. It was big and it was cool and it was historic. And you got to see the cool dockets. That was a special treat. I mean, that was a big thing.
Oh, yeah. Their bookkeeping was amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the docket just hit me because it was like, you got a certain date here, 1866, 1867. I thought that was interesting, you know.
You know, my grandfather was a mortician, and he tried to go in, he from Minnesota, and they worked for Roseville Memorial Chapel. They're still around today. And the Roseville Memorial Chapel is. And he opened up his own funeral home. And he went out of business rather quickly because he was the best mortician in town. If you were missing like an ear, a nose, half your face, not a problem. He could make it look perfect. Absolutely stunning for everybody to view. But he didn't have the heart to charge the people the money. And so these wives, these widows or widowers would come in and tears and shambles. And he'd be like, well, you know, pay me $100 or, you know, pay me $50 and it'll be done. You know, so he went out of business really fast.
Is there any place in particular that you want to investigate that you haven't investigated yet?
So many. I know one that Audra wants to go to that I do too. And I know Dee does too.
Yeah.
And that's the Winchester Mystery House.
Mm-hmm.
The Winchester House. Yeah, that would be neat. I mean, that's in California, isn't it?
Yeah. That's going to have to be a girl's trip in a couple of years.
Yeah.
We'll have to plan that.
I want to go down and see Robert the Doll. I want to see that.
Or Alcatraz. Now I could handle Alcatraz.
I would like to find a place that's never been investigated. I have one in mind, but I won't say, but it's in Savannah. And I want to investigate it so bad.
I know what she's talking about.
She knows. Yeah, she's had to listen to it in the car ride 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. So.
Have you ever seen Bigfoot?
No, I would love to.
We saw a sketchy raccoon the other day coming back from North Carolina.
I have heard reports
of a sketchy raccoon, or was it a skunk?
Yeah.
I have heard of reports of Bigfoot outside of Indiana State Sanatorium. I have heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
ISS.
I mean, I didn't see him when I was there, but I wouldn't be surprised. That place has everything else.
Listen, if I saw Bigfoot, I'm just going to tell everybody right here and right now, mark my words, I would run straight for him to give him a hug. I'd probably get mauled to death. He would probably murder me. But I would be like, yay! Can I give you a hug?
Well, everybody I have talked to that have come in contact with or near Bigfoot say it's a sulfur smell and very bad odor.
That's what I've always heard too, is that it's a terrible smell. Down here they call it a skunk ape.
Or the wood booger. The first time I heard that was last year. I never heard that before.
Wood booger?
Wood booger.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's where you get the boogeyman, right?
My ex-husband swore that they were hunting one time down near Rocky Top, him and his cousins, and something threw a huge boulder down off the mountain at them. And then they dropped everything and took off, and they went back for it, and it was gone, and they all swore up and down that it was definitely Bigfoot.
They were probably drunk.
I don't know how true that story is, but, you know.
Probably drunk. Is that coming from the skeptic?
Yeah, that did come from the skeptic.
Yeah. I've never seen Bigfoot. I've never seen the UFO. I've never seen Skunk Man or Ape Man or Dog Man. But I'd love to.
I would love to.
That's why I said like before, you know, the paranormal is the unexplained. You can't explain it. And it's always been a curiosity. There's always people going to try to debunk that it's not real. There's going to be people that don't do their investigations correctly. They don't check out the history. They don't even know what they're investigating. They call out a spirit and they're dealing with that. You shouldn't be doing that, you know. Right. And I never have put myself in a situation where if I can't do it, I'll have somebody that knows how to do it. Like, especially if I think it's an evil spirit or demonic, and that's a thin line to walk on right there. I won't touch it because I'm not qualified to do that.
Right.
You know, I'm not a big enough Christian to think my faith is going to save my ass. That's not going to work.
So, right.
So, yeah. And there's people who believe, you know, you're talking about moving a spirit on. If you're agnostic or atheist, you know, you don't believe you can move a spirit on. There's where you're moving on to. So if you don't believe in heaven or hell, what are you moving that spirit to? Here, either on earth or killing it.
Yeah.
Vanished, you know, so I can't say whether they're right or wrong, you know. I may not believe that way, but I can't say they're right or wrong.
Right.
I give people their props when they come on here, you know. But here's the last question is, what place have you investigated that just gave you the heebie-jeebies? I mean, just scared the crap out of you.
Oh, I've got several. Who wants to take this first?
Go ahead, Dee.
Old hospital on College Hill last year.
Yeah,
that was probably the most creeped out I've ever been doing an investigation. The third floor of that place. I don't know what it was that night. I don't know if it was combined energy or if we all just fed off of each other. It started with hearing a voice that came from none of us. We thought somebody had broke in. We searched the whole place. I couldn't find anybody else. And then it just turned into a lot of shadow figures and went wild from there to where it just took off. I mean, that was probably the most creeped out I've ever been on an investigation. That place really, I mean, to where we all just went, we're going to take a break. We got to go outside for a minute.
Yeah, that's the first place that I've ever run outside like that. And I've been doing this for years. That's the only place that's ever... I've bolted outside like that.
Was it violent or just?
No, it was chaotic and it was scary because you didn't know where it was coming. There were sounds and there were shadows and everything kind of popped off at the same time. So it was so chaotic and so discombobulated that you didn't know where to look. We didn't get anything on film because we didn't know where to film anything at. And then, you know, because we were listening to an EVP recording and then we hear this woman's voice and then there's a shadow and then there's another shadow. It was just boom, 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 boom. So I think we were all just blown out of the water because it was like, I don't know, like a flood, you know, trickle. It was a flood all at once.
And that when the woman's voice came through, we were actually running on live. We were live on TikTok right then. And then when we came back down, from searching, and then you all were like, there's shadows right there. And then I was running it off my phone, and then that battery just died, and then it just went crazy. It's kind of like, it was like, oh, they can't see us anymore. They can't do anything about it. So they ain't got no evidence. So, I mean, it just circled us. It was just crazy.
And that since they are run off of energy. So it makes a perfect sense that they can suck the energy off of your batteries, you know, whatever you're running.
You know, and it really got us because we started out in the daytime. We were able to go start the investigation in the daytime. And it's kind of strange investigating in the daytime when the sun's up. And I guess that's just because we're all acclimated to investigating more so in the evening time, you know, because your senses really are heightened. When you take your vision away, everything else is heightened. But so it was very calm in the daytime. And we were like, man, is this going to be one of those nights where everything's quiet? So that's, and we were taken by surprise, like guerrilla warfare.
And that's how I explained it in my book. You know, it's like 90% was what you could not see.
Yeah.
So the haunting would be a spirit that you cannot see.
Yes.
You know, so that includes a lot of stuff. The other stuff that scares me more than what you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's behind that wall? What's exactly. up and stairs in that attic? What's down that basement?
Yeah.
So many things, you know, and yeah. And I get this from a lot of people that they get more activity. Okay. Sometimes you get some of that activity you just explained about during the daytime.
Yeah. So
it's not just at night.
No, I think it just at night. I think our senses are heightened at night
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. it takes all of our vision away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Audra was the least freaked out at Old College Hill, though, because when I turned around, I mean, like when we all were just like going for the door, I turned around and I was like, oh man, Audra, something's happened. She's down on the floor. She was laughing. She was the one laughing.
Skeptic here.
Yeah.
Because they looked like Scooby-Doo running out the door, all of them trying to fit through it at the same time.
It felt like Scooby-Doo.
They were clogged. They were clogged trying to, there was like five of them trying to get through this one door at the same time, and nobody could go anywhere.
And you're laying on the floor.
And I was laying on the floor laughing at
him. That had to be a moment.
Because it was so funny.
It was.
Yeah.
It was
one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. And I was like, I'm just going to die right here if there's something here.
Imagine
I can't move.
We have one man on our team. Okay. And so Audra's in the back. The rest of us ladies are like ushering towards the door. Well, here comes Bailey, arms wide open. He's just pushing us all to like... It was like herding cattle, right? It was like he was.
Was his voice screaming higher than your voice?
Yes, it was. He was the loudest one, and
he was
screaming, no.
So now we have a thing in our team that if something paranormal happens to us, that's our no moment.
Okay. Well, yeah.
That was the best thing. I mean, it was great.
I always say sometimes the best stuff that happens, you don't have it on a device.
No, but it's always and forever in my head.
Always, but it's here, you know.
Oh, it's living rent free in my head.
Yeah, that's what it all happens.
How do you explain? I mean, like I said before, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
So exactly.
They did have a sense of humor too.
Right.
They know what they're doing. They know more what they're doing than we know what they're doing.
They do, and they play with you.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They really do.
How many times do you think people bring a trigger item with cigarettes or a baby doll or, you know, how many times have that, you know, they're probably like, come on, man.
Let's see. Yeah, they're like, really? I don't smoke, but okay. Thanks.
Right. Right.
I quit smoking 700 years ago.
I died of cancer. You brought me cigarettes, you know.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah.
You want me to die again?
Yeah, I love these the history of the building and the people, and I think the people that surprise me the most are the psychic mediums that come on my show. You know, some want to know the history, and some do not want to know nothing about it. They want to go with an open slate, or some cannot do family members. They can do you or me, but they can't do their brother or sister or their mother, you know.
Because they just know too much. They naturally know too much about them. And so you can't really discern.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, there's so much to talk about. And I could talk to you guys all night long. But I'll have you back on later on the year. I'm pretty booked up until then. But
yeah, well, that's a good thing for you.
It is.
So good.
I was doing like every other week. Now I've been doing like every week because I have so many guests. I want to get them on the show.
Yeah.
And, I told my wife, I'm going to slow down. I haven't slowed down. Book signings, and I think, oh,
isn't
man.
Isn't amazing?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Amazing.
But it's always good that, you know, teams like yourself or find out more about it. If it's, you want, you can't debunk it, then it has to be something there. It has to be something other than a branch hitting the wall or the pipes clanging in the basement or that voice you got on your EVP that basically leading you to the next step. You know what I'm saying? To that puzzle mm-hmm. of why they died or how they died. I always said they're there to do a the unfinished business. You know, that's why you say if you can't move a spirit on, I think it's because they have unfinished business and they're not done with it yet.
Yeah, they're not. They're still here for a reason.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate it. And we'll have you back on again.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
It's been great, Al.
We've enjoyed it.
I'll put your links at the bottom of the show and they can contact you for getting a hold of you. They want to investigate or.
Fantastic. Thank you.
We've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Aaron, Audra, and Dee, for coming on the show and making my night. I love that interview. They're so much fun. The Tennessee Shadow Chasers. The links will be below this episode, and I for sure will have them back on later on the year. And stop back. Fantastic guests coming up. You don't want to miss it. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghost in the Valley Podcast.